Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
Text the program. Just got a great text here. Like I said, you play both sides, and I know you're doing it for ratings. If you can't decide what is right and what is wrong, then you're either a wimp or a hypocrite. Solid. Is that it? Am I a wimp or a hypocrite? No, a hypocrite is a person who, I don't know, says he's not going to golf anymore and then goes and then golfs all the time. That sounds hypocritical, doesn't there, Phil? Chad.
You're a jerk.
Yeah, I'm a jerk. I'm fine. Trust me, man. There's no playing sides. This is the thing that you guys, is everything a right thing or a left thing? Or can sometimes you go, you know what? I don't see it that way. Do you have to break? Okay, it's like either I'm going to be all in on this side or all in over there. But there's nothing in the center. And by center, I mean sometimes, socially. Guess what, guys? I've got friends who are gay. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I'm okay with marriage equality. Right? And don't say it's going to destroy the family. The family's been destroyed for a very long time. Had nothing to do with that, right? Woman's right to choose? Knock yourself out. I wouldn't choose it, but you know what? That's on you. That's your life. That's your life. Illegal immigration. Oh, what do you think? I don't like it. I think we need to do something about it. I think there's ways of going about actually solving this thing. But, sick and tired of ridiculous taxes. It's incredible. Safe spaces are ridiculous. Not every issue is a one-sided issue, but everybody takes it that way. That's a problem. I think that's a problem. We've become closed-minded. You have to ask yourself, do you want to be a person that is completely closed-minded on everything? Maybe that's who you are, right? I know people like that. I've got friends like that who are liberal and who are very conservative, and they're completely closed-minded. They're virtually, minus their politics, they're the same person. Close-minded. Close-minded. Each and every single day at this time, we do something that's fun. I like fun. Fun is good. It's called Urban Word of the Day. We make you hipper and cooler.
It's time for the Urban Word of the Day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban Word of the Day.
Now, Phil, this is something I think will be coming to the United States. Currently, it's a big word being used in Great Britain, specifically London and in Paris. But I think it'll be coming here to these United States. So, kids, this is something that you could even talk to your kids about, and they're going to be like, wow, I didn't know you guys were that cool, Mom and Dad. De-urbanization. Now, this is, you just go, man, I want to get de-urbanized. What's that mean? You live in a big city, right? A municipality. You're just sick and tired of it. So what do? You move out far away from, in the sticks, away from everybody. Are you ready to de-urbanize yourself? Mom and Dad, let's de-urbanize because I want a big house with lots of space because I want to get 40 dogs, let them run free. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Cranium is stretched as it is each and every day. Like I said, job numbers were great. Celebrate the victory, Trump. That's what you should be doing. Absolutely. The economy, again, confidence in the American people. What are they looking at? They're saying these numbers look good. People are feeling a little bit better each and every single day. I'm in a place right now. I've got an amazing studio. It's incredible. And guess what? Have another business here, and it's booming. People are moving in and out as far as all day long meetings. Things are going on. Things are happening. People, I'm telling you, the confidence is there. Is everything going to roll in behind it? Are we going to start to feel it? Are we going to see that growth? I think we are. It's happening sooner rather than later, and that's good. And that in and itself is going to kill the noise of a lot of this other stuff that's going on. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. He is Pharma Bro. He was up on 8 counts of securities fraud. What happened to Martin Scorsese? Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That's me. Text the program 323-538-2423. Good, bad, or indifferent. I'm fine with it, guys. Throw it out there. Have an opinion. That's what it's all about. Call the program always 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. That's a question earlier. I've had a couple of people text me and go, you know what? It's hard sometimes to listen to the truth. But I said, would you rather hear the truth about a particular issue where you've chosen a side and you have your belief system and the facts and the figures based on what you believe go against that, and that you're not really on the right side, if you will, or the left side? You didn't get it right. That maybe you were wrong. And for a lot of people, they don't want to hear that, right? It's like you don't want to hear that your kid's been bad and you don't believe it. But mom, but dad, you don't want to hear it. No, I don't want my kid to be bad. No. No, Chad. Sometimes our kids are bad. I love my son. He flipped out the other day on his mom. I was pissed. Jack's a great kid. Uncalled for what he did. Dad was not happy. I don't want to think my son could do stuff like that. Nobody does. Truth was, he was a spoiled brat that day. Right? Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we get it right. Based on facts and figures, not feelings. Right? Based on facts and figures, not morals, because everybody's got their own morals. Would you rather hear the truth, even if it goes against your belief system? Text the program 323-538-2423. Tweet at me, at Chad Benson Show. Simple and easy as that. And again, we won't always know all of the truth all the time, but based on facts and figures that you can gather at a certain time. And not that crazy climate change facts and figures, because we all know those things. Again, not the truth. That's why I don't believe in it. Because people hand it to me and say, look, it looks like this. You're like, well, yesterday was different. Well, we had to change the numbers to make it fit. See, that to me, I find BS. It's fake news, bro. Fake news. Speaking of bro, Martin Scorsese was convicted of 3 of 8 counts of securities fraud today. And he kind of grimaced and, shirked and... And if you remember this guy, he was a rising fund in the financial world, a rising superstar in the financial world, a hedge fund kid. This guy was like supposed to be magical, whatever. But then he became a pharma dude, and he took the price of pills that help HIV patients as well as newborns from $1,350 to $750. People were pissed off at the guy. They freaked out. They yelled at him. He's a horrible human being. And he then went on to Twitter and everywhere else. He loved the fact that everybody hated him and the whole nine yards. He thought it was hilarious. And he said, I wish I would have raised it more. Blardy, blardy, blar. He's a pharma bro. You know, he is. Fine. Capitalist. Go for it. Obnoxious. 100%. But today he lost, but yet he felt he won because the big issues of which he faced as far as the charges were essentially he was found not guilty. He was found guilty on 3 others. And today he spoke to the media because he's never met a camera he didn't like.
Again, notwithstanding their entire all the resources of the federal government, we fought back and we feel like we won.
Felt like he won. Felt obnoxious, yes, but felt like he won. Says he's very happy with everything.
We're, I think, delighted in many ways with this verdict.
Delighted. Not often you hear somebody walk out of a court date, 5 weeks of testimony, and then the jury comes back and finds you guilty on 3 of 8 counts, and you say, I feel delighted. Right? I feel absolutely delighted, although I do like what he says here.
This was a witch hunt of epic proportions, and maybe they found one or two broomsticks, but at the end of the day, we've been acquitted of the most important charges in this case, and I'm delighted to report that.
And if I'm Trump, I'm grabbing that and saying, Shkreli, I'm going to use this, because I think that's exactly what's going on. I think that's a witch hunt going on with the whole Russia thing, right? By the way, did you see the FBI apparently monitored social media and stuff all day to find out how much fake news was out there delivered by the Russians against Hillary? They were monitoring. So, but I would say that at some point in time, man, that is a perfect thing. You know, it's a witch hunt. Didn't find a witch. Maybe you found a broomstick and some potions, but you didn't find a witch. And I think that's a lot of what's happening with the Trumpster when it comes to what's taking place out there in this Russia BS baloney. This is Martin Shkreli, Pharma Bros lawyer, talking about jail. Remember yesterday, what's her name? Michelle Carter, the girl that was convicted of text slaughter. I think is that a good thing? Should we call it that, Phil? Text slaughter? Involuntary?
Yeah, that's good.
Involuntary text slaughter of her then-boyfriend, Conrad Roy, who committed suicide. This is Martin Shkreli. She got 2.5 years, 1.5, which she's going to have to spend in jail. And I don't know what kind of jail. I don't know. I don't think she's going to. She's probably not going to a maximum security jail. And she was a juvenile at the time, so she may be in juvenile, some sort of juvenile halfway kind of detention center. But we'll see how long old Shkreli gets. This is Ben Braffman, his attorney.
That allows for a sentence that doesn't even have to include a period of incarceration. And if it does, to be honest with you, a much, much lower period of incarceration than the government ever contemplated.
That's a great Texas accent. I don't think that's a Texas accent. I'm just saying. I don't know how much time he's going to get. May not get any, right? May get some probation, pay a fine, move on with their lives. Not the first, won't be the last. He was so hated because he was everything that the left decries about capitalism, profits, and evil. That's why he was hated. He's everything that the left hates. He's a capitalist that preys on people because he's evil. He preys on the struggling. By the way, yes, he raised those prices ridiculously. Insurance companies covered most of it. Nobody paid that out of pocket, $750 a pill. Very few, if any, did. Raised the prices ridiculously. Took advantage of what was in front of him. But it got out and he got destroyed because he became the poster boy for bad things. It's like Trump, right? He's everything that the left hates. Old white guy, billionaire, owns golf courses, all of those things, right? Beautiful young wife, been through a couple wives, a philanderer back in his day when he was a big playboy in New York, a TV guy, kind of at times obnoxious, in the way that he acts and stuff, a child. He's everything that they hate, but he's uber successful. He's really smart. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, even though at times I think he lets his emotions get in the way. It's funny. And this is what they pick. There's a pattern of people that they don't like. And a lot of it is success. They don't like success. Not fans of success. Because you see, if you succeed in life, it means that somebody else probably failed because of your success. Because they look at everything as a one-on-one scenario. Right? So if you became a millionaire, it's only because you beat somebody else and they are now broke and poor. Oh, jeez. It's the way they paint these things. They do. They paint them over and over this way. This is Gavin Newsom. He is running for mayor, not mayor. He was mayor of San Francisco. He's running to be the governor of California. But listen to what he says here. He's giving this speech kind of, or this interview, talking about why he's running. I don't care that he's running for anything, but just listen to what he tries to say here about inclusivity and fairness and the whole nine yards.
I govern as a pro-growth but pro-inclusion mayor, and that's what I'm promoting as a gubernatorial candidate. It's growth and inclusion. And you can't have high wages and high growth without high skills. That's why we're out there talking about apprenticeships, talking about workforce development. And that's what's driving me. It's what's motivating me. And underlying all that, this issue of social mobility, which I talked about, income inequality, and ways that we can address that in a meaningful way.
Wow. Again, liberal progressive anywhere in the world. I'm running on pro-growth and inclusivity. What the hell does that even mean? I'm pro-growth, but I'm also inclusive. I'm running on social mobility. Producer Phil, what in God's name is social mobility?
I haven't a clue.
I think social mobility is you're that kid who sits alone at lunch, and then somebody invites you over to a table where there's other people. So you've socially are mobile now, and you've moved to another table in hopes to get to another table. I think social mobility is that movie Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey. How do you get to the cool kids table? How do you get social mobility? That's the stuff, though. That's the baloney. And the left looks at things like that. That's not reality. Reality is much different in this world that we live in. People hate the likes of Martin Scorsese because he was young and he was obnoxious and he was successful and he was at times a wise ass, a smart ass, and outthought some people in the room. So he became an easy poster boy to hate. Trump's the exact same thing on the left. He's an easy poster boy to hate. Hate old white men because they're all that's wrong with America. It's a bunch of crap. And let us not forget that a lot of old white men built this country. A lot of old white men fought for this country. And just because you have success, where is it anywhere that says, man, we really shouldn't have people who are successful run for office? We'd like the dumb and dumbest to run for office, the least successful amongst you. It's foolish. It is. But I look at Scorsese in a lot of ways, and I look at Trump. Both of them love the limelight. They like, but the one thing that separates is Scorsese has a much thicker skin at times than Trump. But both of them are hated for a lot of the same reasons. They were successful. They didn't care that anybody knew it. They flaunted it at times. They were all that pisses the left off. All that pisses the left off is what these guys were and are. For whatever reason in this country, there are a certain group of people and a large swath of people believe, hey, you know what? Success is not fair. We should make it fair for everybody. And I call BS on that. Success is great, and success is what you put into it. And for a lot of people, and I found this out across the board, success is only as far as what they're willing to do between 9 and 5. And no more than that. And don't ask him for any more than that. And even at that point in time, whew, good God. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Movies this weekend, the NRA and this movie are getting hammered. And it's just a trailer. Chad Benson Show.
We're happy to serve you here at the Chad Benson Show.
Do you think it's too hot for pork chops?
Would you like fries with your fast food politics?
Man, I'm hungry. I'm going to get some fries.
Sure.
I don't know why I ever come in here.
National Chocolate Chip Cookie today. Day today. I had a donut, but I've also had a cookie, but I'm working out a lot. Playing soccer again, which I haven't done for a while, but man, I had some cookies. Oh, delicious. Who doesn't like a chocolate chip cookie? Communist, that's who. Isn't that who? I'm telling you. Movies this weekend. I'm going to go see one of these movies. Stephen King adaptation has been made into a movie with Idris Elba. I hope I said your name right. And Matthew McConaughey. I know I said your name right. It's called The Dark Tower. And it's basically this guy's the man in black. We'll call him Matthew McConaughey. He played the same Lincoln commercials. You see all those? He plays the same character. This time, though, he tries to destroy. There's two worlds. And now one world's pretty much been destroyed. And if this Dark Tower collapses, then the world that we know it is going to fall apart. And Idris Elba is the last hope. And he's a gunslinger, which is, you know, kind of like a knight. And he's the only hope. Him and this kid are going to try to stop Matthew McConaughey. I'll go see it because it looks interesting. Kidnap comes out in Detroit. Detroit looks very interesting as well, going back to the riots and what took place in the 60s and the race turmoil there. I'm definitely going to see that because I think that, to me, looks like a very much an interesting movie. And Kidnap is Halle Berry. A child gets kidnapped, and she's going to go on a chase across town and then some to catch the kidnappers. Because that's how she rolls. One movie that has yet to come out but did make a lot of noise is a remake of a 1974 movie that I loved called Death Wish. Back then it stars Charles Bronson. A great Charles Bronson, by the way. About a man who was an architect, Mr. Kersey, who his wife and family are killed. And he goes on kind of a rampage as a vigilante. And it's funny because the NRA, everybody's saying, look, this is the NRA's dream. It's a great, you know, it's just a violent movie. It's disgusting. It's horrible. And I'm like, there's tons of violent movies that are out there like this. But it's the way that it's all about this normal guy who doesn't protect his family. And see, this is the NRA's dream. Take a little listen to this. I find it nothing wrong with it. I enjoyed the first one. And this one looks good.
Everybody's watching this viral video. This guy in the hoodie, they're calling him the Grim Reaper. Stop the carjacking.
Is he right for taking the law into his own hands?
He's become a folk hero.
What about the shooter?
He looked like a white dude. They called him a guardian angel. He saved my life.
So, this time it's Dr. Kersey, and it's played by Bruce Willis. And people are up in arms about it. And the reason is because somebody breaks into his house, kills his wife, rapes his daughter. He wasn't there to protect. He wants to get revenge. And what they're saying is, see, this is the NRA's dream right here. Somebody who could have thought they could have stopped somebody if they would have only had a gun. This is why gun violence goes crazy. And Anthony and I talked about it yesterday. Producer Anthony says, why is a movie like this such a big deal, you know, with all the other movies that are out there? I said, you know, Anthony, I said, here's the thing. In 74, crime was rampant. It was horrible. The streets in New York and L.A. were disgusting, and things have changed. But this takes place in the Chicago, so again, another issue. Because, Chicago is Beirut, circa 1980. I mean, that's what people are freaking out about, really? He's taking it into his own hands. And I said, the other thing is, he's a bit conservative. He's a bit of a conservative guy. So he takes a little bit more lash because people want to come after him for it. Kevin Bacon did a movie several years ago that was really good about getting revenge. It's just a normal guy. Didn't get the same blowback. There's a lot of things to go into it. It looks good. It looks decent. Modern Times reboot. I'm okay with that. I know you hate those, Phil. Any reboot, anything with a number, you hate all those things. You shouldn't. Speaking of reboots, YouTube Red is rebooting Karate Kid as a series, and William Zabka and Ralph Macchio are both going to be in it. So how do you like that, Mr. Miyagi? Text the program 323-538-2423. It's the Friday edition of the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
July non-farm payrolls increased by 209,000 jobs. The unemployment rate is 4.3%. Average hourly earnings increased 0.3%. private sector job growth in July, plus 205,000 jobs. The revisions for May and June, a net increase of 2,000 jobs over what had been previously reported.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. What you got there? We got jobs. How many jobs? Lots of jobs. A million jobs that Trump's brought in. And there you go, jazz hands. Now, if jobs were sucking, they'd blame him. Jobs are rocking. Why not celebrate it, right? You're going to get blamed for it, so you might as well take all the success for it. It's like being a quarterback, right? How many times a year Peyton Manning can't win the big one when he was playing? Remember that? Peyton Manning can't win the big one. Peyton Manning put up 48 points. His team would lose 50-48, and it was his fault. He didn't play defense. So enjoy it. Celebrate the victories. And a portion of this is really due to you because people feel that you have a grasp of the economy and an understanding like no other president. And run with it, man. Run with it, Trump. Enjoy your vacation. Don't care about the other noise. People in Cedar Rapids, we don't care. People in Boca Raton, we don't care. Bangor, Maine, no. Walla Walla, Washington, uh-uh. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I don't care about Russia. That's what's going on. That's right there is what's happening. They don't care. People in D.C., it's the most important thing in the history of mankind. Well, that's why you live in a District of Columbia that's small. You think you are the center of the almighty universe when all of us have our own little universes and we're all the center of our own little universes. And we don't care. We do not care at all. So job numbers were up in July. They'll revise those up or down a little bit. Unemployment, let's take a listen.
How did we get to that 4.3% unemployment rate? Employment increased by 345,000. Unemployment only increased by 4,000. The U6 rate, the so-called real unemployment rate, unchanged at 8.6%.
So real unemployment's 8.6, 4.3. See, basically you double it. So get that down to 6. Man, get that down to 6 and wah! Trade deficit's down a little bit. Whoa! Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, man, things are going good. Things feel good. That's what you want. You celebrate the victory. And these victories matter to the people. What's going on with the 16? That's what I'm calling them right now. I believe there's 16 people that are looking into this investigation on Mueller's team. What's going on with those 16? Does not matter at all. Why? Because it's about the economy. You win in the economy, everything's fine. People will be happy. They're not going to find any collusion. As we said earlier, Martin Scorsese put it so, I thought, brilliantly. Oh, that was a great quote. You're on a witch hunt. Because they tried him, and they found him guilty of 3 crimes that were the smallest crimes of Pharma Bro. But he said, hey, the government was on a witch hunt. They didn't find any witches, but they found a few broomsticks. Maybe they find a few broomsticks, but none of it's going to lead to your downfall, Mr. President. And if it does, then there are going to have to be some witches attached to it. I don't think there is any there. But I will tell you this right now. You celebrate your victories, and the economy is a victory that you must win. It's one of those things where you can win the economy, and you could probably lose a lot of other things. Or you can win a lot of things and lose the economy. We won the battle but lost the war. That's the war you got to win. Absolutely. Now, where were these jobs added?
Big job gains in 3 major categories in the month of July. Food services and drinking places, plus 53,000. Professional and business services, up 49,000. Healthcare added 39,000 new hires. We did see an increase in manufacturing, plus 16,000. Construction was up 6,000.
Thought I'd get a little bit more construction, but still adding some numbers and some of those services that aren't the usual kind of, you know, we're talking about professional business services. Those are good. That's what you want to see. Accountants, things like that, mid-level management. There you go. Manufacturing up a little bit, 16,000. But I'm telling you right now, you feel it. People are confident. You celebrate the victories. You celebrate the wins. You do that. This is the battle. This is the war you have to win. All the other battles, You can give in a little bit. You may lose more than you wanted to. But yet win this, people don't care about the rest. We all participate in the economy. We all do. I went to work this morning, got up. You know what I did? Stopped at Del Taco, the greatest place in the world, to get my lemonade, as I do all the time, and then went to my donut shop across the street because it's Donut Friday. Got myself my donut that I do every single week. It's a crapshoot here because I think when the kids go back to school that I'm going to be left with a smaller selection on Donut Friday. Kind of was that way today because the kids are playing football. And so they're all practicing across the street. But I participate in the economy. I spent $3 participating in the economy. We all participate in the economy. Vitally important. Win this, kids, it's good. Win this, and you got a smile on your face. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. People texting in. Last hour, we were talking about truth. I think truth is vitally important. I know it's crazy. And I know there's a lot of fake news out there. And I know there's a lot of people out there with agendas. We all know that. We know who they are. We know what they're about. It's no surprise. It's not. It's not a surprise. But I posted something today that I thought was funny, and I still do, about Trump golfing. And Trump has, he's played a few rounds of golf, right? And saying I'm not going to golf. I'm never going to see Doral again. I'm never going to see Turnberry again. I'm never going to see any of these places again, blah, blah, blah. You know, saying the things that he says. And then, of course, he's gone out and done that. You know, I thought it was funny because he hammered Obama over and over again. By the way, happy birthday, President Obama. He hammered it over and over again. Me saying that right now, here's the insanity of where I'm going with this. Me saying that, happy birthday to President Obama, somebody's going to text me and go, you're such a lib. Because that is just so, it makes me laugh. It's just whatever. But I don't care that President Trump golfs. I didn't care less. Go for it, man. And you don't get a day off. There is no day off. There's like, I feel like being president today and you want to sit around and do nothing. There's none of that stuff. You're going to have 60 people around you all the time. You're going to be briefed in the morning and the afternoon. If something crazy happens, you got to be ready in a minute's notice. And all of that. You're going on a 17-day vacation, but it's a working vacation because every vacation is a working vacation. Doesn't matter who it is. And it's funny because the people that attacked me today for putting that up, they would say, well, Obama golfed all the time, blah, blah, blah. They would go off. And I said, I don't care that Trump's golfing. Yes, but you say he's not doing anything. Like Obama didn't do anything. I said, well, wait a minute here. So one guy you know had all the time off in the world, didn't do anything, didn't take a call, didn't talk to anybody, but Trump's going to be at it 24/7. Yeah. You're blinded. You're blinded. And that's what we've gotten to now. We are so emotionally invested in people that really play very small parts in our life, if at all any part in our life, and we get blinded by this emotional connection that somehow we have to defend so-and-so's honor because you think they may share the same belief system as you and vice versa. And so you want whatever it is that they do to be true, and you want the other side, who also happens to be Americans, you want everything that they do to everybody to know that everything they do is false. And that's not true. I got accused, oh, Chad, you walk the middle, you toe the line. I do not. I look at each and every single issue, political discussion, debate, whatever we're doing, and I do as much research as I possibly can find on it. And I form my opinion. Excuse me. That's it. No more. I form my opinion based on that. And sometimes in life, an opinion may skew left. Sometimes it may skew right. Sometimes it's really right. Sometimes it's, you know, to the left. It doesn't matter. But people, we're so caught up in, I need to be right about something. And I've learned over the last several years in doing the show, first starting locally and then going nationally, that people get charged up because they're so vested in their belief system that anytime that you question it or maybe point out, hey, look, I know you think that's true, but these are the real numbers. These are the real facts. This is what really took place. People lose their mind because they feel you're attacking them as a human being and their personal beliefs. And then they're mad at themselves because if they're honest, they believe some of it. They look and like, oh, they're never going to tell you that. But they get frustrated with themselves because you're pointing something out that is challenging them. Then they're mad at everybody else who has told you, hey, look at this and look at this. And what do you think about this? So it's a lot of emotions. It's ridiculous. We should be able to have an open, honest debate and discussion about things. We should be able to have an open, honest debate and say, you know what? And I've done it. I've looked at situations and I thought I've gathered as much information at that time that was possible. And then later on, I found stuff and I go, you know what? I was wrong. I know it's crazy. Rarely you hear that. Somebody say it was wrong. Yeah, it happens. But it's not a one side or another side. And I don't, that's nuts. Doesn't get anything done. It's not. People have belief systems. You should respect their belief systems. You may don't have to agree with them, but you should treat everybody with some respect. And I've noticed along the way that a lot of people don't. And it's getting worse. And now we're at the point where it's like, dude, if you say something about somebody, Obama, Trump, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Paul Ryan, you get destroyed. Because people are they're ready to attack and kill through social media. I asked a question earlier, and I've got a lot of people saying, well, you know, I want to know the truth, but do you really want to know the truth? And the question is, would you rather know the real truth about something based on facts and figures, or would you rather only know the parts of truth that you care about that really validate your point? And I think for a lot of people out there, they only want to know one side of the truth that they believe is the truth. And if the facts and figures don't back that up, they don't want to know. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. What's next is next, Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next for Missouri? Right now, the NAACP has issued a warning that says, hey, don't go to Missouri, people of color, because it's not good. It's bad, and there's a new bill, Missouri Senate Bill 43, that has to do with race and gender, that they say this is one of the big reasons why. They don't like people of color in Missouri. It's a bad place. Don't go there. It's bad. And NAACP says they've issued a warning. Do not go there. Do not go to Missouri because of this. I was in Missouri a couple weeks ago. I found it to be quite pleasant. People are very kind. I always thought it was weird. Everybody waved at you. It's very, very nice. Very affordable. I saw blacks and Hispanics and whites, and people were hanging out. They didn't seem to dislike each other. But they're saying, oh, no, this new Senate bill, you have got to understand something. Now, the proof is with the plaintiff. They've got to prove. Before, it was about the defendant proving that there was no bias in firing somebody or not hiring somebody. Now, you have to prove that there was. Oh, it's insane. It's crazy. But you got to understand, this is where Ferguson started. This whole thing with Black Lives Matter started there because of, here we go. So what's next for Missouri is I don't even know how you get on this list. I don't even know how you get off it. What can you do? You may not be able to do anything at this point in time. May just be what it is. But what's next is more and more states, I'm sure, are going to be in the crosshairs of the NAACP and many other groups because they may have a conservative leaning in a lot of ways. Don't be surprised if West Virginia, whose governor, Jim Justice, just went from Democrat to Republican this week as he switched parties. Don't be surprised if at some point in time they end up in the crosshairs of stuff like this. This is what we've done now, people. We've gotten to the point where we've decided, hey, if we don't like what you say or what you do, if we don't like the way you govern your state, we think something's going on there that's bad, well, we're coming after you. In Missouri, you guys killed old Michael Brown. He was just a kid that was on his way to law school right after he finished his doctorate in medicine. You guys killed him. And Missouri, How about that school, huh? That college. Hates black people. It's insane, people. What's next is I have a feeling we're going to have more of these things than less of them, which is going to be weird, which is going to be very weird, having groups come out issuing things, but it's not something that hasn't happened before. In the past, groups that are LGBT groups have issued warnings to different states of don't go here because of the way that they treat the LGBT community, or don't go here because of the bathroom laws, or don't go here because of that. A divided nation indeed. But we can, I think, unite in some things, and I think that's what we have to do now. We have to start finding common ground. What's next is let's start finding common ground, people. Can we please? Just take a moment. Find common ground. Doesn't matter what it is. I find that sports tends to be one of those things that brings a lot of people together. You go to a stadium, you all root for your favorite team. Doesn't matter what it is, baseball, football, soccer, hockey, basketball. Hey, you find people of all makes, models, sexual orientations, religious. There's common ground there. Maybe one small thing, but there's common ground. Maybe one itty-bitty thing, but there's common ground. Just throwing it out there. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Text, call, 844-DIG-CHAD. A lot of people texting in. One person says, I should be in the POTUS cabinet. I would love that. I hope he invites me. I don't think he will. But I would love to do that. Call the program as well, 844-DIG-CHAD. Fall of mankind. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If it leads to people seeing the nice area that we live in, I'm all for it.
A little bit of congestion, but it is what it is, you know? He's got to live.
If anything, the restaurants love it.
People talking about the president, 17-day vacation. Some people excited about it. Some people not so excited about it. Like this guy, it was a skydiving place, and he has to be closed for 17 days because of, obviously, can't have that going on. You don't know who's coming down out of the sky.
This is a state institution in outdoor entertainment that is about to disappear because of the restrictions.
That's what happens. When I was in Palm Springs, President Obama would come there a lot. Stay at Sunnylands, probably, I would say, about 500 yards from my front door. And it was locked down everywhere you went. It was crazy. I get it. It's the president, most powerful human being on earth. I get it. Just let it go, people. It sucks. It does. It sucks. Look, you know, you get excited because, oh, the president's coming. And it's neat. I mean, I went over. I took Jack over one time when President Obama landed because it was great to see. The Air Force One came down and he got out and he waved and stuff. And Jack and I talked. It was a great thing. You know, I mean, he was like three or four. And I had my little brothers. They loved it. They thought it was neat, you know, to see the escort, the cars and all of the people, you know. There you go. Very interesting. Loved it. We talked about, you know, what he gets to do, what he doesn't get to do, what's on the airplane. But the traffic, it's a nightmare, and it sucks. And I'm sure those people that the restaurants, I'm sure they're very happy. The other people aren't. 17-day vacation. Go enjoy your vacation. You work a lot. I have no problem with vacation. I don't, because I know you're going to be working along the way. Despite my putting up a question today, I don't have a problem with it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. People are still like, you need to pick a side. I don't need to pick a side. My God. It's amazing, isn't it? There's a right side. Well, the other side says you're wrong. Well, they're wrong. Well, yeah, but they say you're wrong. Well, I'm right. Well, what they say you're wrong. Well, I'm right. They're wrong. Well, why are you right? Because I am. No, you pick a side. Okay, whatever. Can't be bothered. How about both sides are wrong? We move on with our lives. A former Facebook executive, 30 years from now, he says the world will be a disaster. Will be Venezuela. The whole world will be. And for a lot of the world, that's a step up. But for places like us, that's not so good. That is not good at all. Antonio Garcia Martinez, he now claims to live as a recluse. He was a project manager for social media giant in Silicon Valley, but became terrified, he said, of the relentless march of technology. He's convinced at some point in time that Skynet, producer Phil, remind everybody what Skynet is again.
Skynet will mess you up.
Will mess you up. Skynet was in the Terminator movies. It took over the world, you know, took over everybody's nuclear weapons, fired it, blah, 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 blah. He thinks that's where we're headed. He thinks what's going to happen is over X amount of years, people will slowly but surely be asked out of their jobs, including middle management and things like that. We'll have so many guns in America already, and people are going to get frustrated, and they're going to get scared because they're not going to have food, and they're not going to have the necessities, and all of a sudden they're going to look up, and it's going to be, you know, war in the streets and people fighting to just get the last, you know, thing of bread from the store. I don't think that's going to be true. It's just change. It's what it is, man. It's just change. The world's not coming to an end. You know what? You know what's a little bit more frightening? Right? A little bit more frightening is the fact that in the West, we're not reproducing. We're not having children at a high rate of speed. We're not keeping up with the loss. More people are dying than are be creating. And that, to me, is far more frightening than whether or not Skynet or whoever is going to take over the world. That, to me, is far more a reality. The West just isn't producing. But I don't think this is real. We're not that stupid. I would like to think we're not that stupid. The powers that be would not be. And this is when you start to hear the people come out of the woodwork and say, you know what, we need a universal income for everybody. That's going to be great. A universal income. Universal income sounds like a great idea, right? We're going to give everybody X amount of dollars. But that's all you get, right? You get $1,000. You get $1,500 a month, $2,000, whatever it's going to be. We're going to give people X amount of dollars a month because the robots are taking over the world and we need to make sure that everybody's going to get something. So we're going to give, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, everybody's going to get X amount of dollars and we go from there and it'll be great. But you got to, that's it. You're not getting anything. There's no food stamps. There's nothing else. This is what you're getting, right? That's what people, and it's like, I tried to explain to somebody the other day, the problem is stupid. That's the problem. Stupid will get the money. Stupid will spend the money not in the correct way. And then stupid will ask for more money because stupid is exactly that, stupid. That's the problem. You could give somebody $1,000 tonight and by Monday they're broke. And the things that they needed to pay, they didn't pay. And then stupid wants more money. That's the issue with this. It sounds great, man. You know, you're working, you make $5,000-$6,000 a month, whatever it is, $3,000-$4,000, and they say, hey, we're going to give you $1,500 a month. You can do what you want with it, blah, 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 pay your bills, blah, save it, whatever. Sounds great. But as we all know, stupid's out there. And stupid gathers in large groups, and stupid tends to do stupid things, and then it's all going to go to hell in a handbasket. That's why universal income's not going to work. Because it's stupid. It just, you can't fix it. You can't legislate it. There's just nothing you can do with it. You just hope. And the sad thing is, of all the things that are reproducing in the West, it's stupid. Stupid reproduces at a high rate of speed. Smart, driven, intelligent. They don't. That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear isn't robots taking over the world. My biggest fear is stupid taking over the world. We're getting there in Idiocracy faster than we think. The downfall of the West isn't going to be robots. The downfall of the West is going to be the fact that we don't produce. Other cultures come in, overtake, and eventually, boom. What we held as a great culture in the West, whether it be us or England or France and several other, slowly but surely erodes and goes away. And that, to me, is more frightening. And the ones that will survive are stupid because they produce at a rapid rate of speed. It's a sad, sad situation, but it is very, very true. Speaking of robots, you know, one of the things Trump talked about is merit-based. You come here, if you're going to do immigration legally, it's merit-based. You speak English, but you have some proven skill, a skill that is needed in the United States because we have a shortfall. And there is one right now that if you're looking for a career change, this is the way you go. How many times do I have to tell you? Manufacturing is dead. The road to the middle class, upper middle class, and beyond is right in front of you. And it's not Facebook. It's the thing inside of your computer that's going to help you get there.
There's a projected shortfall of 1.5 to 2 million cybersecurity professionals in the next few years. So it's significant.
That's a lot. Let's listen to that. Let's hear how many jobs again that is.
There's a projected shortfall of 1.5 to 2 million cybersecurity professionals in the next few years. So it's significant.
Significant. That's a lot. That there is a lot, people. That is a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. That's what you want, right? That's what we all want. Jobs are out there. The problem is a lot of good people already have jobs. But are you happy? Are you ready to make a move? This is the best thing. This is what we are screaming for. And this is what is going to be coming here. The people who are going to get legal visas to come to the United States to immigrate here are going to be people who have these kind of skills. That's what's coming. They're right in front of you. This isn't somebody who's come across the border to pick. This is somebody who's coming here to get a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year job because they're plentiful. And by the way, he may get a $100,000 job. She may get a $150,000 job because they're going to fight for him because they are so short in this area. Cyber criminals everywhere.
They don't have a headcount shortage. 80% of attacks last year were from organized cyber criminals, and they got away with almost $500 million in illegal profits.
Not WannaCry, but a lot of people did. Cybersecurity is huge, and it's going to get bigger. It's going to get way bigger. The days gone by of somebody walking into a bank and putting people's lives at risk, including their own, to say, stick them up and get a bag of which you get away with $5,000 and some of it blows up with ink all over you and you get caught and you do 10 years in jail is gone. Now you're a ghost and you can steal $100,000 in 5 minutes. Hell yeah. Absolutely. And they need people to stop that. The road to the middle class is not manufacturing, it's technology. Because the technology that's coming is going to take those manufacturing jobs. But if you're smart, you'll go, whoa, somebody's got to fix these things. Somebody's got to program these things. Somebody's got to run these things. This is the gold rush right here. I see it every day. Inside of my studios, right next here, my uncle and his team, and they are light years ahead of people with the virtual reality and the AR, the augmented reality, and all of the stuff that they're doing. Security, apps, the whole nine yards. This is it. This is where it's at. It is a gold rush. We were talking about last night with Joel, one of his partners. It's a gold rush. And there's so much money out there available to companies who can come up with ways to stop these things and to do these things, to grow. It's insane. It's right here. It's right in front. But how many people want to take advantage of it? Because a lot of people are afraid to make a move. I don't know that much about computers. I don't know about this, that, and the other. But they'll go back to school to go, I'll be a teacher. Or I'll go back to school to do this. Or you know what? You can learn. You can learn. If you have a head on your shoulders, you can learn. Malcolm Gladwell said, what do you have to do to be an expert? You read one book on that subject a week for a year, and you'll be in the top 10% of people in that field? Do 10,000 hours of work on something you can learn. This is where it's at. World's not going to come to an end over computers and wackiness like that, especially when it's all right in front of us. That's why we have to rethink the way we educate kids and all of that stuff. It's right in front of us. But who has the foresight to grab a hold of something and say, this is what we should be doing? 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. Say, what? Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality. With a twist. Say what?
Say what? Chad Benson Show this Friday. It's your Say What edition, the donut version of it. So you get an animal, right? You're like, I got an animal. You get excited, right? Sometimes those animals do certain things. Case in point, Jerk the rooster.
Jerk. He is a rooster who is so good at being a rooster, a little too good, in fact, that his owner is now asking people on Facebook to take her expletive rooster. But she says she got so many funny replies to the post that she's now going to keep Jerk. He's a celebrity now, she says.
Celebrity rooster. She says, the rooster is the perfect rooster if your alarm clock is broken and you need to be woken up 5:30 every single day. That's the only setting is 5:30. She doesn't blanking care what you do to the rooster or what kind of home it is. But now that the rooster has gotten hundreds of thousands of clicks and followers and likes, she can't get rid of Jerk the Rooster. And I like the fact that she's called Jerk the Rooster. Jerk the Rooster. What's going on? Jerk the Rooster. Yeah, Jerk the Rooster. So now she's going to keep the rooster. This is the world that we live in. This, I love the fact that a rooster now is becoming famous. Man, used to be everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame. That's funny. I saw Daniel Tosh last week, and he was funny. Everybody gets 15 minutes of fame. He goes, but that's a weighted, that's an average. He goes, some of you may get zero, and then others like me may get a lot more. So on average, people get 15 minutes of fame. Well, guess what? Now everything can get 15 minutes of fame. And for some of you out there who hope you have fame and fortune in your future, when it comes to, I don't know, the internet, Jerk the Rooster just took 3 minutes of your fame. That sucks for you. The Exorcist. Remember that movie?
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. Nobody expected it.
Doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself.
I'm telling you that that thing upstairs isn't my daughter.
The one hope. The only hope. The Exorcist.
A lot of documentaries coming out about The Exorcist, things of that nature, movies about people who are real life exorcists, a couple of them. One of them is going to be about a guy that a book's coming out and a bit of a documentary about a guy who's the go-to guy for the Catholic Church when they want to get a, is this person crazy? His name is Dr. Richard Gallagher. He's an Ivy League educated board certified psychiatrist. He teaches at Columbia University and New York Medical College. So he's got a good head on his shoulders. And he was Catholic when he was younger, but he thought it was all a bunch of hooey. But he has said over the last several years, he's seen things that there's just nothing you can explain. You can't explain it. You can't explain how somebody speaks German, Latin, French, and Dutch. And at the same time, somebody who is 90 pounds pick up a grown man that weighs 250 pounds and throw them 10 feet across the room as if they were just nothing. You can't explain some of the things that he's seen. And some of the weirdness. He goes, most of it you can explain away. You can explain it away. Say, what? But some of it you can't. Some of it you can't. And he's got some stories. And I've seen some of the trailers for some of the stuff that is coming out. Because there's two versions of something similar than this are coming out on Netflix. And I think one's on Hulu. It's beyond creepy. Some of the stuff that's on there. And they even talk about, if you've ever seen exorcism of Emily Rose was based on a German or a French girl, and there are YouTube, you know, recordings and stuff have gotten out in some of the video, and it is beyond creepy. It's one of those things where you watch some of it and you're like, I didn't need to see that ever, and now I feel uncomfortable and I don't know if I'm going to sleep at night. I love that movie, though. It's a great movie, Exorcism of Emily Rose. Text the program 323-538-2423, ChadBensonShow.com. You know what they have for you there? Podcasts. Grab them. Great for traveling. Less filling. Zero calories. And no bad, you know, red dyes or any of that crazy stuff. Just for you, kids. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's Friday. I love Friday because that means that it's Friday. I get to eat donuts, but also this guy joins me. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research joins us every Friday to talk politics, to wrap it up, put a nice bow on it. Jim, we got so much stuff to get to this week, and there is a lot of crazy stuff, you know, from general. First and foremost, last week, we talked about a guy by the name of the Mooch, and the Mooch is no longer with us.
No, the Mooch lasted about 10 days, a little bit longer than a Kardashian wedding normally. So that's, you know, I'm not sure what to say about that, but he definitely was not going to work well with the general when the general came in, and he was going to have to go because I do not see the general tolerating him, nor do I see the general allowing him to report directly to Trump, which was the setup he had for his 10 glorious days in the White House.
Speaking of the general, this is John Podesta talking about said general.
General Kelly will have his hands full to end the chaos, to get some discipline in this White House, and that's going to be exceedingly difficult to do.
Exceedingly difficult to do is having the White House under control, because leaks and more leaks, more leaks, more leaks, then more leaks, more leaks. You've got all kinds of things that really look like it's discombobulated. General Kelly, though, I think he's the right man for the job, but I don't think it's a long-term job. I think he's there to straighten up the ship, get everybody on the same path, and then move back to something more military.
Well, it could be, but certainly is going to bring some order and discourse to the White House that has not currently been there. They needed somebody to basically run the shop who, you know, the chief of staff. The way I look at it is Trump is the CEO. The chief of staff is the COO. He's the guy that makes sure everything happens. He makes sure the trains run on time. He makes sure the right people get the right information and limits the access to Trump while he is guarding that door to make sure the right people get to Trump and they spend the right amount of time talking to Trump, and no more and no less.
So he's on vacation. It's you know, I mean, 17 days. I feel like 17 days is a bit of a vacation. But, you know, these guys work all the time. Looking back this past week and through this first, you know, several months of his presidency, I think Trump at times has struggled. And I think a lot of the struggles are kind of self-inflicted. Don't you think so?
No, absolutely. He's been fighting with the party. He's been able to make peace. He'll come out and say, I've got this great health care system. And then he'll say, great for passing the repeal. And then he says the new bill is mean. Donald, what is it? I mean, you're going back and forth here, and he's got lots of other things where he's one side on one day, 2 weeks later he's on the other side of the same subject. And that's going to create a lot of problems when you're talking with the people in Congress that are used to a stable, consistent message coming out. It's very hard for the people that are doing the messaging to continue to do it when 2 weeks later Trump says something that's conflicting what he said 2 weeks ago, and they're spending all their time explaining the Trump conflicts rather than the actual messaging, which they're trying to get out there.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, joins us every Friday to talk politics, put a big bow on it, a nice bow, wrap it up for the weekend, and back at it again on Monday. You talk about, and dude, like,
again, Trump is, he's a walking contradiction at times. By the time that, you know, Sean Spicer or Steve Miller or Sarah Huckabee Sanders has said something, he's tweeted something that's polar opposite. And like I said, these first few months, I think a lot of this chaos is self-inflicted. And the mooch was self-inflicted.
No, absolutely. I really don't know what he was thinking there. This was a guy that 18 months ago despised Trump and was constantly speaking out against him. He had somehow gotten into the good graces of Donald Trump and convinced Trump he was the guy to clean things up. But he didn't have the decorum that you're going to put into the White House. This isn't a hedge fund. You've watched Billions, right?
Oh, I love it.
Okay, and you know how that's run? Could you imagine him running the White House?
And here's the thing about that show, Billions. If you ever watched Billions, there is no redeeming characters on that.
No.
Everybody's horrible. The feds are horrible. The billionaires are horrible. The hedge fund people are horrible. The assistants are, everybody's horrible. And the mooch was straight out of there.
Right, so this is not going to go well. He was a guy who ran his own hedge fund, who could say whatever he wanted, and no one was going to say boo about it. Well, when you get in the White House, it runs a little differently, especially when you're standing in front of a podium or you're going to go, quote unquote, off the record, though you don't say it's off the record, with the New York Times or a major media source. You can't do that, and you can't say things about Steve Bannon or whoever it is that he said that. I mean, yeah, you can do that while you're chatting in the bullpen with all of your traitors, but you can't do that if you're the communications director for the president of the United States.
And by the way, here's just a little dazzling part of Mooch talking to that New York reporter for the New Yorker. And I don't think it was as off the record as people think.
And Reince is a paranoid schizophrenic, paranoiac. Okay, but he leaked the CFIUS stuff on me. You know, my financial disclosure's been leaked to Politico.
Which is
a felony.
Again, you can't say some of those things. You can think them. You could say them in the bullpen. But some of the things you can't say are things like that and what he said about Bannon. So General Kelly's in there. This week seemed kind of, after everything was said and done, it seemed kind of quiet, but the leaks are still out there. And that's something that is very unnerving, the way that stuff comes out in record time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because Sessions today held a session talking about they're going to start cracking down on this. It's going to be interesting to find out where these leaks are coming from because there are not a lot of people that have access to some of this information. This just isn't like some, you know, junior staffer or intern has got access to this stuff. This is pretty particular stuff that a limited number of people have the right to see or have access to see. It'll be interesting to see if it's a disgruntled Trumper. Or is it someone that's left over from the Obama White House as a bureaucrat? Or is it somebody else? And that's hopefully what somebody, either Kelly or Sessions, will dig into and find out.
And, you know, speaking of Sessions, this is what he did have to say earlier today about said leakers.
So today, I have this message for our friends in the intelligence community. The Department of Justice is open for business. I have this warning for would-be leakers. Don't do it. For the past several months, we've already made changes and are seriously ramping up our efforts.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, ramping up their efforts. This isn't a huge cabinet. There's not a massive administration because there's still a lot of people that haven't got through. You said it. It's a close-knit thing. You would think at some point in time, somebody's going to figure something out and somebody's going to get popped and somebody's going to get Nieto's conversation with the president out. WAPO has it. Australian Prime Minister, WAPO has the whole thing. Are you kidding me?
That's what I mean. Those are not documents that everybody has the ability to access. So somebody's going to have left a fingerprint on it somewhere because there's just going to be so few people that have access to those documents that are going to be able to basically, you're going to be able to narrow them down, put them in a room, shine a light on them, and make them squeal until somebody actually fesses up to what happened. So hopefully that will make it a little bit easier. But the question is that the only person? Is there a web of these people? Is there a whole group of people that are upset that are doing this? It's going to be tough to figure out, but hopefully they're going to get it done.
They catch somebody. I mean, and this is the thing, you know, for all the stuff that we talk about here, they catch somebody, maybe it was somebody formerly in the Obama administration, and this stuff's getting out. There's a scandal right there that's just ready to explode. And people are really playing with fire here. Plus, you know what? You're also playing with potentially your freedom.
Correct. If it's classified information, they could be brought up on felonies for that. But, you know, the way the left works, Chad, if somebody turned out to be a White House staffer left over, the left will probably go out and find him a nice $500,000 a year job at some media company for this.
I heard the Mooch got a $500,000 a year job offer. Man, that 11 days. Did you hear the Scaramucci is now a unit of
time.
Yeah, unit of time.
Yeah.
Scaramucci is 11 days. Jim Kennedy's with us, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We're going to talk about healthcare. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. And we're also going to talk about the rhetoric that's going on this week. You hear unity in some places, other places. One side is basically saying the other side's evil. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Washington Beltway insiders have nothing on us.
We have breaking news that is just coming out now.
Get all the juiciest White House leaks here first.
And free.
Maybe they're trying to tell us something in code.
Our plan favors applicants who can speak English, who can support themselves financially, to demonstrate valuable skills.
Surprised Trump wasn't branded. Was that a Klan meeting, Trump? You said English. We know that's a racial term. Code word. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here joining us in the new studio. Jim, new immigration, curb legal immigration. We've got two kinds of immigration, legal, illegal. I'm fine with that because I think at some point in time we've got to start, you know, because now immigration, it's a crapshoot. It's a lottery. You wait a long time. It's ridiculous. I'm fine with having some, you know, some how should we say this, some wants from people that are going to come here, including having viable skills that are going to contribute to society, you know, and speaking some English.
Right. Well, look at California. I mean, look at the economic problems we run into. I know we have a good economy, but the amount of debt that California is in. Going forward, it looks pretty dismal as far as their ability to continue to basically balance their budget and raise funds. Why? Well, because we're basically importing every year, you know, all of these people that don't have job skills, that don't speak English, and the only jobs they're able to get are $8 an hour or whatever the minimum wage is. That's not a way to grow an economy. You want to bring people in that are basically STEM-oriented, that speak English. Also, kids that are going to come here to go to college, if they're going to take important classes like STEM-type classes, let them stay here after they get their degrees and contribute to the increasing of the economy of America.
And I don't think people understand it's vitally important that, you know, I love the fact that we're the best or brightest in coming here. And understand this, as I said it earlier, we as a nation, we as the West, we're not reproducing like we used to. And immigration is going to be one of the ways that we're going to have to combat the fact that we're going to have a decline in our population if we don't. So why not get the best and the brightest?
Absolutely. I mean, we're not as bad off as Russia or some other areas, but you are
Japan.
Correct. Yeah. Those are some of those old line countries that have some very serious problems where they're going to basically not be able to keep the basically the country populated in 25 or 50 years. But yeah, I mean, 500 million people, if you gave them the opportunity, would come to America today. That's how many people, if you poll them, want to be in America if you had no boundaries, no borders, no immigration policy. So with that many people wanting to come, let's pick the best million a year to come to America. I mean, we are what we are because we bring in the best and the brightest, we hope. We don't bring in, sure, we brought in immigrants over the years that basically learn things. But today is not 1900. Technology skills are so important to be successful these days. If you don't have technology and you don't speak English, you're destined to a minimum wage job or slightly better at best. And that's not what is going to help build America as we go forward. It certainly isn't going to help build California as we go forward.
No, it's not. And of course, the left came out and just it's racist. It's the worst thing ever. You know, I think to myself, if you're going to come here, speaking English is going to open so many more doors than not speaking English. I don't think people understand that. You want to get and I said it this week. You don't have to be fluent, but you should have a decent grasp of it. And then through the several months that you first come here and you acclimatize yourself to everything a little bit better, you guess what? You start to learn better and better English. It opens up all those doors. But somehow, some way, that became a racial issue.
Absolutely. Remember 40 years ago, S.I. Hayakawa, the American senator, immigrant from Japan, what was his big thing? English as the official language. He was a Democratic senator, and he knew the value of everybody speaking English. Second, how many people do you hear say, well, you know, I came here as an immigrant, I didn't speak any language, or I didn't speak any English, but I made sure that I didn't speak English, and that was my key to being successful in this country. I don't think anybody says that. You have to learn English if you're going to be successful. There is very few people of anybody who has become successful without acclimating and learning the English language, because we speak English in America.
It's insane. And it's funny, as I was talking to one of my friends this week, who's very liberal and stuff, and he is like, yeah, he goes, that's just the reality that we need to. And you find people that have been here 20, 30 years, and they don't speak a lick of English, and you're thinking to yourself, why is that? Because we as society become this empathetic creature that we're like, you don't have to change, we'll change for you, and that's insane.
No, absolutely, yeah. I was saying exactly the same thing. All these people that grow up in these enclaves of immigrants, well, yeah, they can get by because they've got markets that speak Spanish. They can go down to the laundromat who all the people speak Spanish. They go to the restaurant, all the people speak Spanish. They can go on through their whole day and not ever speak English. They can come home and watch Spanish language television. And if you dare tell them, well, you should be speaking English, oh yes, you're a tremendous racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, hate person who needs to be, you know, put through a retraining academy because you are just obviously hateful of people that are not speaking English or not American.
Well, of course, we're all hateful for those kind of people. But the chances of this getting through, this RAISE Act, is slim to none. Let's be completely honest. It's slim to none. But it was a talking point this week because this wasn't about building a wall. This was about actual legal immigration into this country. But it also goes back to, sounds great, sounds like it's a real kind of step into trying to transform and update immigration policies, but it's never going to fly.
No, probably not. The House might be able to get it passed, but I do not see it arrive. I see it being dead on arrival when it comes to the Senate. There's just too many. And this is not a bill that you can pass with 50 votes. It's not a budget matter. So you're going to have to get 60 votes, and you're not going to be able to get Chuck Schumer to shake loose any of his Democrats. They are going to be stand, you know, arm to arm through the doors of the Senate to prevent this from happening. So
that's not a shocker right there. Arm to arm, singing kumbaya, kumbaya, kumbaya. And speak. We're going to, you know, break it down as we move through because we still have a lot of stuff to get to. And Schumer, Pelosi, the Senate. You talked about the House. This thing has a chance to get through the House. A lot of stuff looks like it gets through the House, and then it lands at that pesky Senate area. And I want to break that down from top to bottom because I want to look at health care. I want to look at the two immigration bills that are already there, Jim, that have been passed and are sitting there waiting to be debated, waiting to I don't know what they're going to do with it. God only knows. They may flip it, slap it, rub it down. I have no idea. Still waiting to go. And now we could potentially be looking at taxes that would land there. And the House seems to be doing their job. Are the Republicans doing their job down there at the Senate, fighting strong enough, getting stuff through? What's going to happen? Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here with us. He joins us as he does every Friday. We wrap it, put it in a bow, and we hand it to you as a present because this is all you need to know right here. This is it in a nutshell. It is a rewind from the week in politics that was. You can text the program 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. At Righty Jim. That there's our tweeters. So feel free to tweet at us. More Jim Kennedy straight ahead.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It is the Chad Benson Show. Every Friday, Jim Kennedy joins us. We talk about all things politics. Put a bow on it. Wrap it up for the week. Kind of rewind. Catch you up on all the things. This is it. This is the most. You want to know everything about politics? This is the place to do it. This is right here. This hour right here just locks and loaded. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research joins us. Okay, so here's the thing I find funny.
The House gets everything that they do. They fight, they argue, kick it back, they argue. It doesn't happen. All of a sudden, it trickles down. The Senate is a whole new weird ball game of craziness. We need to do this to get it into conference. And if we get it into it's like we can't talk about it until we get enough of these. And if we get enough of these chits, we can get it into conference. And if we get enough of the conference, then we can open up and find out what's inside. It's insane, yet at the same time, you sit here and scratch your head because nothing seems to get done. And they don't seem to be too excited to do anything.
Well, no. Remember, you know, our founding fathers put the system together so that they would make sure that there was nothing impulsive about the way we created laws in America. The House, because it's every 2 years, is going to be a little bit more impulsive, but the Senate was going to be more deliberative 6 years. They could sit there and think things over more and have the focus to try to make sure they were the more mature body, and then any craziness that came out of the House would be controlled by them. I don't know after 240 years if this is exactly working out the right way, but it's what we've got. We are not going to be changing it in any way. But, yes, the House has put out, as you mentioned earlier, a couple of immigration bills, along with some other bills that are just sitting in the Senate. They put through the Obamacare repeal, which the Senate, as we well know with Mr. McCain and Ms. Collins and Ms. Murkowski, decided not to pass. Now, that was only on a 50-vote count. The immigration bill and the Trump immigration bill, the Raise bill that he's proposing, those are all going to have 60 vote requirements, because there's a trick you can get stuff through the Senate, with 50 votes, and that's going to basically bypass a filibuster because Republicans have 53 senators. The problem is for 60, that means that seven senators from the Democrats are going to have to agree with the Republicans to prevent filibustering the bill. So if they don't have that, they cannot move forward with that, and they will not be able to go forward in a way we talked about earlier in the last hour, or the last half hour with Chuck Schumer. He's pretty much got his people all tied together, and they are not allowed to go off the reservation and take a vote that is not approved by Herr Schumer. So they're not going to be, if they want to keep their assignments and they don't want to wind up with an office somewhere next to a steam pipe, they are not going to be going off the reservation.
And I don't think people realize that. When he says keep assignments, you become a senator, a congressperson, you do what you're supposed to do. You get to land on all of these amazing committees. And as you do the ways and means and things like this, and you want to be on those things. That's a good thing for you, because there's also with that comes, you know, little things like fundraisers and stuff like that. I mean, let's just be honest. It's where the lobbyists and stuff like that. And you want to keep those assignments, so you have to play ball. Healthcare is a perfect example of what do we do from here. This is Pelosi earlier this week.
There is, in Senator McConnell's, one of his bills that he had, the repeal and replace, he had a provision that we can all embrace.
Pelosi, minority, chicken, leader, she talks about this magical thing that Mitch McConnell has somewhere that they could all embrace. Yet I've never heard of that, and I still haven't heard. She's the only one who's told me about that.
Yeah, I've looked it up. I don't know if it's next to her magic beans or next to whatever it is that she, whatever sort of oxygen chamber she sleeps in at night to keep her still alive, whatever age that she's at with all the crazy pills that she takes every day. Yeah, I don't know what exactly that is. I've tried looking it up, and I cannot find anything
on it. She has
magic
beans?
Well, Chad, there's certain things I can't talk about.
Well, that's awesome. She has but I don't know where this thing is that Mitch McConnell has, because why wasn't it rolled out if this thing was so, first of all, if Mitch McConnell thinks it's so good, that should have been a no-brainer that this thing gets done, because if everybody's going to embrace it, then we all do it. He's the Senate Majority Leader. Boom, Mitch, you've got it. Mitch, let's get it done. And then away it goes, right?
Well, yeah, but it could be one of those things, Chad, where she likes that one part. There's eight other parts you've got to pass to repeal Obamacare that she doesn't like. So it could be something like that, where she likes this one little item and she's going to focus on, oh, we could, you know, we can unite on this. But those other eight things, no, we're never going to, you know, there is no snowball's chance that this is ever going to get through.
Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research joins us. Jim, okay, so healthcare. You're at the point now where this was big. It's going to land at Trump's feet, when in truth, this was a lot of this lands at the Republicans' feet, because of 7.5 years. This is what you guys came up with, which is a hastily put together bill that you were just trying to pay. It's horrible. If you're him, at some point in time, do you go, okay, guys, we got to get something done? I don't care if I have to reach across the aisle at all. Just if I have to shake this thing up, because you don't seem to be doing some fighting for me. So why should I play favorites with you guys?
Well, I don't know why he hasn't put together some sort of a committee that's independent of the Congress that goes out and tries to come up with solutions, gives them 6 months to come back with some ideas, and we'll look at a new health care bill in 2018. Now, of course, with the elections coming up, it might be tough to get something through in early 2018, but why doesn't he get a committee together to try to work on something? Maybe Kushner chairs it, who knows? Maybe Ivanka chairs it, who knows? But maybe something where basically it's a Trump-led effort, because obviously the Congress wasn't able to get it done. And yes, that was really embarrassing. They had 7+ years to come up with something. You would think they would have had people working 7/24 for 7 years so that when this situation comes up, they are ready. They got a bill that's, 1,800 pages, and it has been cleared by everybody. It adds up. It makes sense top to bottom, left to right, forward to backwards. No one can question it. Sure, Democrats may not like it, but it's a complete bill that handles all situations. They know exactly what it's going to cost. It's a reasonable amount. They can pitch it. They've got the talking points. But did they? No. They just basically said, hey, we got the White House. What do we do now? Oh, yeah, repeal Obamacare. I don't have a bill to repeal Obamacare.
It was so embarrassing. It reminded me of a few years ago. I think it was the Minnesota Vikings. We're on the clock, or is it Cleveland Browns? It's the Cleveland, everything.
Probably the Cleveland Browns.
It was the Cleveland Browns. On the clock at the draft. Now, mind you get like 8 minutes. They put a clock on, you get 8-10 minutes. You have one job, right? You've been looking at 8 or 10 players for the last X amount of months. You know everything about them, who their grandma is, how they grew up, what their favorite food is. You know everything about it. You're inside of a room. All you have to do is say, we want to do this, we want to draft this person, and you take it up, and then the commissioner goes, well, the fourth pick or the second pick, they get X, Y, and Z. They couldn't do that. This is the same thing. They were on the clock for 7.5 years, and they couldn't get it done. Now, mind you, there was some turnover here and there, but still, the powers that be, the Rand Pauls, you've got Paul Ryan, you've got Mitch McConnell, you have all of these people that have been clamoring for this, the Ted Cruzes who came on because of this.
John McCain, Rand specifically, he has an advertisement from his 2016 reelection campaign. Send me back to the Senate because I'm going to pass the Obamacare repeal. Well, John, they sent you back and you didn't pass the Obamacare repeal for the voters of Arizona. You could have been working on this for 7 years, okay? Maybe you didn't like the Republican ideas. Come up with your own, work through it. You were there. Mitch McConnell was there. Rand Paul's been there for most of the time. Yes, Ted Cruz is new, but there's lots of other Republicans. Collins has been there, I think, this whole time, that have been there for the entire 7 years that could have been working together. I think Marco Rubio has been there for most of the time. He could have been working on this.
He was born there. Marco Rubio was born there and still... Nothing. Remember him, man? We've not heard a word about Rubio.
No, you're right. It's like
I'm going to have to send out a search party, make sure he's okay. Little Marco has disappeared. So, but everything's sitting in the Senate. And if you're Paul Ryan, if you're all of these guys in D.C., if you're the president, you haven't really had any meaningful legislation, any bills to sign. The only thing you've had to sign lately is the sanctions bills against Russia, which goes against the entire narrative because you did sign the bill. So now the Russians are – everybody's mad at you. But if you're him, if you're Trump, what the hell do you do?
Well, you kind of – like I said, for the Medicare or for the Obamacare, I think you start your own committee at this point. Tax bills – I don't know how that's going to work out because Ryan had to give up on his key thing that he wanted with the $2 trillion-ish sitting offshore. Apple added another, $4.8 or $5 billion week to that, to this quarter. They got $251 billion sitting offshore. That's the GDP of Finland that's sitting offshore that they cannot pull back right now. And there are other companies that have similar amounts that are sitting
Apple,
there.
I think, has $246 billion.
Okay, so $246, fine.
Yeah, or Google. Google, I mean.
Google's got a bunch, too. I mean, but like I said, it comes close to $1.5 to $2 trillion. Bring that back, 10%, 15% penalty or tax on it. We pull $200 billion into the Treasury, $300 billion into the Treasury. Nice job of basically cutting down the deficit for the year. And you got all that cash coming back into America that you can use to hire people, do R&D, to do advancement on your products. It would just be great, and it would be a great win-win for both sides, along with reworking the corporate tax. Bring it down from 35%. Bring it down to a more reasonable number that's in the rest of the world, be it 20, 25%. And then basically you're going to have some great economic stimulation through that.
But it's taxes, and will taxes get done? Won't they get done? The chances are no. At this point in time, I don't see a lot getting done. And it's a personality thing. I think a lot of it is you can't be seen with somebody like Trump. Where you talked about Los Angeles, and they just went and did this huge study to find out, well, okay, let's just say for the sake of argument that they don't want to give us any funds for federal money for sanctuary cities. And all of a sudden they found out they'd have a $2 billion shortfall. But people are still willing to say, screw it. We'll eat our own. We're okay with that, because it's about standing against somebody like Trump and what he stands for. And I try to tell people, the disdain for him as a human being is 50% of why people don't want him to be president.
No, absolutely. I mean, well, it's also that. It is also part of Hillary was supposed to win. It had to have been something corrupt because Hillary was going to win.
Yes.
And as you said, why Hillary didn't win? Because she was a horrible candidate.
She was.
And that's why she didn't win. It wasn't because the Russians interfered. It wasn't because somebody put fake news out there. It wasn't because Trump stole the election. It's because she was a horrible candidate. That's the answer to the question. Move on, folks, as they say. But when you're talking about trying to get bills through, the problem now is that we talk about bipartisanship. Okay, that is dead. I don't see anybody working. Schumer, if any of his people, like we were talking about earlier, try to break ranks, like I said, they're going to wind up with an office in the steam pipe room. Okay, so that's not going to happen. They've all got them scared. There's no way that they're going to break ranks. And short of a bill that basically gives single payer health care, is dead from that perspective, because the Democrats are not going to budge off of their position. I mean, over the last, let me call it 5, 10, 15 years, the left has moved farther left, the right has moved farther right, and that's why bipartisanship is so much harder to find than it was. I've got a friend who's a liberal. He thinks the greatest Republican was Bob Michael. He was the House minority leader in the 70s when the Republicans had about 150 or 160 members, and basically the Democrats didn't even have to call them if they're going to pass a bill, because they had so many people sitting in Congress that were Democrats. And he thinks I was a great Republican because he would just capitulate to everything the Democrats did, and there was nothing for them to stop. It's like, well, that's not a great Republican. That's a guy. I mean, that's cannon fodder.
Yeah.
That's not a great Republican.
Yeah.
So our efforts on bipartisanship are just so dead these days because everyone has gone so far away from the middle.
And speaking of that, now you talk about that. This is a perfect example of how people talk. We should unite. We should unite. We should unite. But here's Bernie Sanders.
The Republican Party is now, in fact, a right-wing extremist party dominated by the Koch brothers' ideology. Koch brothers do not want to see cuts to Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid. They want to eliminate those programs. They want to eliminate every federal program passed in the last 80 years.
That's straight out of his ass. Just pulled that out of. But if you don't know who the Koch brothers, they're three brothers, but two are the real dominant ones. They bought the other one out, and he's just kind of being a recluse. But they're worth billions upon billions of dollars. They have a huge company and employ about 100,000 people. They're very much conservative, very libertarian at times.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
They're more libertarian in a lot of ways.
Than this conservative. And they do fund money to, by the way, both sides, but predominantly to the right side of the aisle. A la somebody like George Soros with crazy eyebrows who would like to see the downfall of America and capitalism, even though he's worth $40 billion, whatever he's worth. But you can't say that and expect unity.
No, absolutely not. And some of the things, well, you didn't pull one up today, but some of the things Pelosi has said over the years that are just absolutely crazier than heck. And but the thing with Bernie is, and the thing with the Koch brothers don't like Trump.
No, okay? They don't.
So they're not exactly all that much on the right. I mean, they are more right. But to Bernie, everybody is right other than Joseph Stalin. It's the only guy that's not to the right of Bernie. So or to the left of Bernie.
But you're not going to be able to unify anything. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research joins us. We're going to put a big bow on it, wrap it up, tell you what you learned this week. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Yummy donuts.
Well, then.
Somewhere in the world, at any given moment, Chad is thinking about sugary, sweet, glazed donuts.
I've forgotten what a weird little person you are.
Mmm, donut.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's me, kids, wrapping it up on this beautiful Friday. It is beautiful, by the way. It is very beautiful.
What we need, and I think perhaps the president can get there, I sure hope so, is sort of the sense of unity, of hopefulness, not of division, but of lifting.
That's John Kasich, governor of the great state of Ohio. Unity, Jim, we've lost the plot on both sides of the aisle. The hatred and the sycophants are out there when it comes to Trump, and it's just sad.
No, it really is. It's really kind of gotten a little, I don't know, scary or kind of crazy on both sides. You got the Democrats with the Trump derangement syndrome that are just absolutely vehement that Trump, you know, must be replaced at whatever cause or whatever methods. There is really no wrong way to replace Trump. I mean, through legal methods, that is. They're not advocating for his death or anything. But there is no wrong method. If they can figure a legal way to get rid of Trump, declare him insane, get him out by impeachment, whatever, that is just fine because he's an illegitimate president and he should not be the kind of person that's president of the United States. Then you have on the right just the opposite of the people that everything is fake news and that whatever we do to defend Trump is legitimate because of the crazy people on the left that are determined to drive him out of office.
And today I got into it with several people because I posted the thing about golfing. And again, I don't care that he golfs. I just thought it was funny because he said he was never going to golf while he was president. And he's golfing. Again, it doesn't matter to me. But it's funny that he goes out and he says over and over again, he tweets, O's on vacation again, golfing again, this, that, and the other. And I just thought it was a little hypocrisy and a little bit of laughter. People don't have a sense of humor about that. And it's all fake news. Doesn't matter. I mean, Trump could literally take some of these people golfing and say, we didn't golf. And they'd be like, we didn't golf. And it's you sit there and you laugh your ass off. It's like, are you so far gone? And I have colleagues in my industry that are so far gone, that are so far up Trump's butt that you can't have a conversation. And I'm about the truth. Let me tell you something. There's no agenda here. I just want to know what the facts are. Your feelings, they can go over there.
Absolutely, and I agree. And I know that you've been called both a puppet for the left and a puppet for the right over the years. So obviously you're pissing off the right people on both sides. So that's
the right people.
The right people. But no, that absolutely, that's a problem, is we are becoming more and more estranged as a country because of this. I'm not sure what Kasich was meaning by that, but the Republican Party in and of itself isn't united. The Democratic Party in many ways is not united because they can't put up a very good opposition to Trump. Otherwise, they would have been winning some of these special elections if they had any sort of unity and ability to put together a coherent message. So the Republicans are divided. The Democrats are divided. The country is divided. Until somebody decides that, look, we're going to kind of all get on board. I mean, maybe it takes some sort of a national crisis. Maybe, 9/11 certainly unified everybody, that we weren't nearly as divisive. Not that I'm wishing or hoping for anything like that. But maybe it takes something like that to bring Americans together and see what's important, not whether it's you're pro-Trump or pro-Hillary or pro-whatever.
There you go. Chip Kennedy, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Follow him at Righty Jim. At Chad Benson is me. We learned a lot this week, most of which is politics, life is life. Do your own thing. It's better for everybody. For Jim, for Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. Have a safe weekend. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.